Chapter 6. Secrets at Millie's Provisions. The quaint wooden sign that hung from a weathered post read, Millie's Provisions, and just underneath in smaller, cursive letters, Everything You Need and a Little Bit More. Carl parked his car and took a moment to survey his surroundings. The town square was a picture of serenity, with a couple of children playing at a distance and the odd residents strolling about. He entered the store and was immediately hit with the scent of aged wood and freshly baked bread. The inside was a juxtaposition of old and new. While the wooden beams suggested the store had seen many years, the neatly organized shelves and modern cash register gave it a contemporary feel. Behind the counter stood a petite woman with silver streaks running through her auburn hair, tied back in a loose bun. Her eyes, a bright shade of blue, sparkled with a mix of mischief and wisdom. Morning, stranger, she greeted with a smile, revealing a set of slightly crooked yet endearing teeth. Morning, Carl, he replied, nodding. Her eyes took a moment to size him up before she quipped, Here for the Triangle Trail? Carl raised an eyebrow, taken aback. How did you? Millie chuckled. Oh, honey, you've got that look. I've seen enough folks pass through here with that same determination in their eyes. Carl leaned against the counter, intrigued. What do you know about the triangle? Millie leaned forward, her voice dropping to a conspiratorial whisper. Legend says that deep within these woods lies a place where dreams and memories merge, where past pains can be forgotten, and where Elias holds the key to it all. Almost as verbose as if she was reading it from a postcard. Carl's interest was piqued. Elias? She nodded slowly. The guardian of the triangle. Some say he takes away your nightmares, locks them away in his cabin. But there's a price, always a price. Nobody knows for sure, except for Nahini. He's been around for ages, and he's seen things, heard tales. Carl scribbled some notes, the journalist in him always at the ready. What kind of price are we talking about? Millie looked out of the window, her gaze distant. Some come back with peace in their eyes, but there's always something missing. A spark, a memory, something. Some never return at all. Carl felt a shiver run down his spine. And this cabin? Millie sighed. It's rumored to be deep within the triangle, where Elias keeps the dreams and memories he collects. Some say it's a place of magic, others claim it's cursed. But no one knows for certain. Nobody has ever found it. Rangers one time went up there with helicopters but never found it. Officially? It doesn't exist, according to the U.S. Forest Department. Carl pressed, Have you ever met anyone who's been there? Millie hesitated, then said, There was a man years ago, came back looking empty. Said he'd given away a part of himself but couldn't remember what. Over time, he faded, like a shadow in the midday sun. That's, unsettling, Carl commented, taking another sip of his coffee. Just be careful, Millie warned. Those woods, the triangle, Elias, they're not to be taken lightly. Even if you escape legends, there's the bears and wolves. Carl nodded, processing the information. Thanks, Millie. Anything else I should know? She thought for a moment. If you're truly intent on this, seek out Nahini. He's usually in the square, not too fond of outsiders, but perhaps he'll speak with you. With that, Carl paid for his hiking supplies, thanked Millie for the information, and made his way towards the town square. The thought of meeting Nahini and uncovering the deeper mysteries of the triangle fueled his determination. The journalist in him was intrigued, but the man who had lost Diane, who was haunted by that memory, was desperate for answers, for peace. Millie thought to herself, if this keeps up, I'll retire early. Slowly sliding her register drawer closed with the sound of a secure click. The town square was bustling with activity. Stalls selling local crafts, food vendors, children playing. In the heart of the town square, a solitary figure stood out amidst the lively backdrop selling Native American trinkets. Nahini was a striking presence, with deep-set, piercing eyes that held stories of centuries past. His skin, weathered from years under the sun, was the rich shade of mahogany. Long, silvery black hair cascaded down his back, some of it braided meticulously with beads and feathers, a sign of his Native American heritage. He wore a simple, traditional tunic, adorned with intricate beadwork that told stories of nature, the land, and its spirits. A turquoise necklace rested against his chest, each stone a testament to his connection with the earth. His moccasin-clad feet seemed to blend seamlessly with the ground beneath, as if he were an extension of the very land he stood upon. Every line on Nahini's face seemed etched with wisdom, and as Carl approached him, he felt a deep sense of respect for the elder. Nahini's presence commanded attention without demanding it, a silent reminder of the deep roots and rich history of his people. Carl approached him with a sense of wonder, the mystique of the elder forming an aura around him. The square was alive with chatter and activity, but next to Nahini, everything seemed muted and distant. "Nahini," Carl began with caution. "I've been hearing tales, whispers of Elias and the Triangle. These stories, they feel like they've been calling out to me. I seek to understand." Nahini, looking deeply into Carl's eyes, spoke slowly and with the deliberate rhythm of ancient chants. "Elias, he was of our people once, a man burdened with visions dark and heavy, haunted by spirits of the past." Carl's interest deepened, leaning in. "And this cabin? Tales say it's a nexus, where the spirit world meets ours." Nahini's eyes glistened with age-old wisdom. "In the heart of our sacred forest, hidden by thick mists of time, stands the cabin. A cabin it is, with no windows, so no spirit, no scream can ever escape its embrace. It is an old spirit itself, having seen many moons, its timbers resonating with countless tales. Its walls, they have absorbed the tormented cries of many." "The closet inside," Carl started, "does it truly contain memories, dreams?" Nahini nodded slowly. "Within the belly of the cabin, Elias keeps a closet. It is there he houses the dreams and memories of those who seek peace. When Elias takes a memory, he tucks it safely there. But if one's spirit isn't pure, if peace isn't found, Elias, he must make space for darker visions. He takes them out, letting them roam, and they become nightmares beyond any man's worst thoughts." Trying to grasp the full meaning, Carl asked, "How did Elias become this keeper, this guardian of dreams?" Nahini took a deep, thoughtful breath. "Elias, he was tormented by his own shadows. In his pain, he journeyed to the Triangle, seeking the ancestors' blessings. Instead, he was transformed, granted the gift and curse of bearing others' dreams and nightmares. But such gifts, they come with heavy burdens." Carl felt an unease settling in. "So, by seeking the Triangle, one could find release, but also risk being ensnared by unimaginable terror?" Nahini's face grew even more solemn. "The Triangle, it is not just land or legend. It's a mirror, reflecting the soul's deepest recesses. Depending on what it sees, it either bestows tranquility or terror." Once again, Nahini's piercing gaze met Carl's. "Your spirit, it carries a weight, a lingering shadow. If you go in search of the Triangle's truths, you might shed this burden. But remember, such freedom has its price." Feeling both drawn in and repelled, Carl asked, "What price?" Nahini whispered, the words seeming to float on the wind. "Some say they give a piece of their spirit, others, their sanity. The Triangle doesn't ask, it takes, and its gifts can be both a blessing and a curse." Carl took a moment to let the words settle. "I need to find this cabin, Nahini. I must see it, experience it." Nahini, nodding with an understanding that spanned centuries, responded, "Then brace your spirit, Carl. For in this quest, you're not only searching for a cabin or Elias. You are searching for the very essence of who you are, and the reflections you find might forever change your path. Nahini, sensing the earnestness in Carl's eyes, reached into the worn leather pouch at his side. He pulled out a delicate necklace, intricately woven with tiny threads and feathers, a miniature dream catcher. It had an ancient look to it, suggesting that it had passed through many hands before landing in Nahini's. "Hold this close to your heart," Nahini murmured, the weight of centuries in his voice. "This dream catcher has guarded many souls before you. Wear it and honor the spirits. Let it be your guide and protector. When you step into the realm of Elias, whisper your hopes to it and ask for the essence of Elias to look upon you with mercy." The gravity of the moment was tense. Carl gently took the necklace, feeling the energy and history it emanated. He clasped it around his neck, its touch cool against his skin. The small dream catcher settled over his heart, pulsating with a rhythm that seemed to connect with his own heartbeat. With newfound resolve, Carl looked into Nahini's wise eyes. "Thank you, Nahini. Your wisdom and this gift, I will hold them close." Nodding with understanding and pride, Nahini simply said, "May the spirits guide your journey." With the weight of the dream catcher and Nahini's blessings, Carl took a deep breath and turned, stepping with purpose toward the direction of the elusive trail.